Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Week two of getting a chance to hear the early morning hours of Montana Talks. That's one of the exciting new additions here in 2026, is that our friends in Missoula, who, you know, normally would only get to hear 1 hour of Montana Talks, our big 9 o'clock statewide hour of the show that goes everywhere from Plentywood to Glendive to Lewistown to Malta all the way over to Missoula. Well, now our friends on KMPT Missoula get a chance to hear us for 3 hours, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And so every Monday you'll get a chance to hear Evelyn Pyburn here with the Big Sky Business Journal talking about business news here in Montana. Plus, always just gives good insight and on the news of the day as well. Evelyn, great to have you on the show as always. You know, we were talking during the break there. We always like to start with the good news, a good news story. And how could this not be the good news to start with, the exciting news? It's topping the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here. Coming up later this week, in just about 4 days, the United States Navy's Blue Angels are going to be making a special winter flyover in Billings, Montana. That is so exciting.
Yes, it is. It's going to be, I don't know if everyone remembers, a couple years ago when they had the Blue Angels here, but this year they're aiming to make it really bigger and better than ever because of the 250th anniversary of our country. So I think they're working on some really special events associated with it. So, yeah, it should be really great.
Yeah, well, and, yeah, I don't know how they could make it bigger and better. Because that was such an incredible, yeah. I mean, that was like the party of the century. And it was such an incredible show back in 2023. How are they going to make it bigger and better? Well, they kind of gave us a little taste of that. They called in while I was in Malta on Friday morning, and they're going to have double the VIP suites. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to check out that operation. I know your son, Reed, down at the High Horse Saloon was providing a lot of the beverages so for that one. But my goodness, they're going to have even more VIP suites. That was the place to be because you had shade from the sun and a great view of the air show the entire time.
Yeah, I know that they've gone out of their way to go places and see what other air shows are doing. And, you know, they're really studying how to make this bigger and better. So I'm sure that whatever they're going to do, it will be bigger and better.
Yeah, you can guarantee it. When Matthew McDonald and Jake Penn will say they're going to put on a show that's going to be bigger and better, they've now proven that they are men of their words, and they will get the job done. So we're so excited for that. And then once that jet flies over, that's the signal that tickets are available for folks all across Montana, all across the country. In fact, Friday when I was in Malta, we had a lady who was there visiting family all the way from Hamilton, Montana, and she's like, hey, I didn't make it to the 2023 air show, but we are buying tickets for 2026. All right, lots of business news to get to here with Evelyn on this Monday morning. Occupational licensing in Montana. That's going to be a very interesting topic, so we'll get to that and more with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal right after this. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today, highs will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman, around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows near 40 to 45 around the region. And then on Tuesday, we'll see breaks of sun and some cloud cover. High temperatures at about 52 in Bozeman, about 61 in the Billings area. Partly cloudy skies expected Tuesday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
If there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it, but last week you know, David Noble and I were talking about just the disrespect of law enforcement that we're seeing on display all across America. And this is really kind of a cultural turning point that we've seen in this country, especially, you know, on steroids since 2020 and the George Floyd riots, et cetera. You sent me a great email about how property rights are also disrespected and how important property rights are to a free country and how property rights are being disrespected. It was such a great message. Would love to hear in your own words kind of more on that. But first, let's get into some of the business news. So there's a lot of jobs here in Montana that require a license. Occupational licensing. I think we briefly chatted about this topic a few weeks ago, and then you've been doing some more digging in the meantime. What stood out to you?
Well, it is kind of surprising. Montana is second only to Maine in having the most licensed occupations. And Maine's licenses, Maine has 28.5% of their professions licensed, and Montana is 28%. With last year, there were 154,100 licensed workers in the state last year. The national average is 21%, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And this is not a good thing for the state's economy because it discourages people from pursuing careers in Montana. We talk about trying to keep our young people here all the time. Well, this is no way to do it because licensing imposes costs and burdens on some career choices. The Federal Reserve stated that professional licensing imposes a burden for low and moderate income workers because of the cost of licensing and the delayed employment that often is associated with it that aren't really justified by the incomes that people get in those professions. It deters career advancement, they said. It also is a burden that deters interstate migration by licensed workers because, you know, each state has a different set of rules or regulations. So, you know, if you're licensed in one state, it may not be recognized in the state you want to move to. And that's been a problem in Montana, but the Montana State Legislature attempted to address that issue somewhat in 2019 by enacting the Universal Licensure Recognition, which is called ULR. The state now recognizes licenses from other states temporarily, which allows the newcomer moving here permanently time to become licensed in Montana while still pursuing their job. But for some professions, it is still difficult getting a license in Montana and, besides troublesome, costly. But it seems that adopting the ULR process has been beneficial for Montana because Montana experienced an increase in licensing from 2012, when there was 7,500 new licenses issued, through 2022, when a total of 15,575, more than double number of licenses were issued. So there was particularly strong growth in 2020 through 2021. So that has helped somewhat in Montana. The study noted that over time, the number of professions in the United States that require licensing has risen dramatically from about 3.6% of occupations to 21% now. They also noted that it is very rare that once licensed, an occupation is removed from being required to be licensed. And if anyone is trying to anticipate what occupation might be required to become licensed, they said it usually happens very quickly after the discipline or the occupation forms an association, which I believe is a strong indication that more so than any consumer protection. Licensing is a means of reducing competition in any given field. And when you're doing that, you are not helping your economy and you are not helping future workers or young people to find a foothold in the business world. So I think Montana has a real challenge going forward. And, you know, we'll be doing that very rare thing.
It's becoming more of a friction point, too, because, you know, now people just, they move around a lot more. Families are more scattered all across the state, all across the country, and people move a lot more than they used to, right, for jobs, whereas it used to be,
right.
You know, baby boomers, you know, maybe grew up at a time where, you know, parents worked at the same factory for their entire career. They lived in the same house, and now people are moving all the time. And so I remember a specific example where, okay, let's say you're a, you know, the husband is a military soldier, and you get stationed in Montana, and your wife is a school teacher. Well, you're not licensed to be a teacher in Montana. And meanwhile, we have a 1,000 teacher shortage in Montana where they're importing teachers from the Philippines. But, oh, no, we're not going to recognize this teacher's license from North Carolina, you know, who moved here because of her husband being in the military. And it's actually been a fight where some of the entrenched, you know, far-left activists in the MFPE, et cetera, have fought that. And so it's just like, my goodness, it's like they'll even do that to military spouses, you know. And so that's why this license reform has been is so important. Such an interesting topic. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, another great report. Hold that thought. Back with Montana Talks coming up here right after this next news break. And of course, your farm and ranch report here from our friend Leigh Norlett as well.
This is House Call for Health. January is Thyroid Awareness Month. The American Thyroid Association says more than 12% of people in the U.S. will have a thyroid condition in their lifetime, around 20 million with a form of thyroid disease, and up to 60% who have a condition are unaware of it. Women are 5 to 8 times more likely than men to have problems, and 1 in 8 women will develop a thyroid problem. An undiagnosed condition can lead to a risk of other problems, including cardiovascular diseases, osteoporosis, and infertility. The Pacific Neuroscience Institute describes the thyroid gland as a butterfly-shaped endocrine gland in the lower front of the neck. It makes hormones that go into the blood and then around the body, affecting many things, including heart rate and the nervous system, and controlling metabolism, impacting how food is turned into energy and how quickly things move through the body, including sugar and the pace of bone loss, depending on hormone levels. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks at with Leigh Norlett.
Animal health officials are warning livestock producers in the United States after a confirmed case of New World screwworm was found 215 miles from the Texas border in Tamaulipas, Mexico. The parasitic pest, which can cause serious livestock injury and economic loss, was detected in a 7-year-old bovine, according to the Texas Department of Agriculture. That said, there's still no evidence the pest has established a breeding population, but producers along the border should inspect animals daily for open wounds and report suspicious cases immediately. Again, this is occurring south of the border in Mexico, but producers should be vigilant across the nation. In other headlines, agriculture policy analysts say 2026 could mark the end of the traditional 5-year U.S. Farm Bill era as lawmakers struggle to produce comprehensive legislation. The most recent Farm Bill provisions expired in 2023, and Congress has extended them annually since, leaving perennial programs in limbo. Experts say shifting political priorities and partisan divides have complicated efforts to craft a broad farm policy package that addresses commodity supports, conservation, nutrition, and rural development. Without a full farm bill, many programs are funded through short-term fixes, delaying long-term planning for producers. Advocates warn that prolonged uncertainty could impact crop insurance, disaster assistance, and trade programs. I'm Leigh Norlett.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And then just a few minutes, we'll have the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. Evelyn, I had to kind of laugh about this during the break here. You know, I'm looking at the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. We were talking about how, you know, a bunch of dudes, well, and some great gals, too, from the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels are going to be doing a winter flyover in Billings this week, promoting the Yellowstone International Air Show coming up in August. But they're not the only dudes coming to Billings. The Dude Ranchers Association Centennial Convention is going to be in Billings towards the end of the month. So a whole lot of dudes are going to be in your neck of the woods here.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It would be interesting to see what those people are talking about and doing. Dude Ranchers are cool, I think, but...
Yeah, I mean, I was telling my kids, I was like, you live in Montana. I was like, people will come here from all, young kids will come here, like, you know, for a summer job, or maybe they'll take a year off of school just to do something cool. That is like one of the coolest jobs a kid can do, is working on one of the, you know, these ranches for the tourism industry, yeah. And, you know, meeting folks from all over the world or whatever. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of cool that they're having that. Apparently, it's presented by the Billings Livestock Horse Sales is going to have, some events taking part as part of all that as well. Other business news, what do you want to get to first?
Well, there's a lot in the news about the job market. The jobs market through November and December has been reported to be underwhelming. One report called it ho-hum, with job gains of 50,000 in December and the same in November, which makes it pretty flat. That 50,000 is comparable to 323,000 new jobs created in the previous December of 2024. So they report that 2025 started out stronger than it finished, and the lackluster performance is largely being attributed to the proliferation of artificial intelligence. But interestingly, at the same time, the unemployment rate has remained low, which I take to mean that there aren't as many people seeking all these newly created jobs, which, again, is a bit confusing, because in other surveys, employers are still saying and complaining that they can't find the employees they need. The National Federation of Independent Business, which is the largest business owners organization, conducted a December survey in which 33% of owners are reporting they have job openings they cannot fill. And the same was true in November. The same NFIB report said 17% of business owners plan to create new jobs in the next 3 months. So the unfilled job openings remain above the historical average of 24%. So I'm wondering, what is the benefit of new job openings which cannot be filled? And the best answer seems to be that they can't find job seekers who are qualified for the positions that are open, which seems to open up another job market problem. Why aren't there qualified workers? And I haven't found many people really addressing that as an issue, if that is the issue. But and then you have to go back and really wonder, you know, at some of the reports, how honest they're really being, because, of course, the job market reports are always, you know, prime political targets. And so even if it's a good report, and if you read it in it, pretty soon they're twisting the negative far more so than the positive. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, and I guess it's a good thing if you're looking for a job and to know that there's plenty of opportunities out there.
Yeah.
I did also encounter a report that said a lot of people that haven't been looking for jobs are now entering the job market.
Oh.
And I'm not too sure why that would be, but
maybe a crackdown on welfare. crackdown on welfare fraud and some work requirements being attached to things. Able-bodied citizens who are of working age that could be working that weren't working, maybe now they're being told that they better be looking for work. So maybe, which will be a huge help to our economy when people fill these needed jobs. It allows these American companies and these Montana companies to then grow and succeed as well. Very interesting insight all around. As always, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. You can sign up for the hot sheet, get it in your email inbox, ready for every Monday morning. The print edition is incredible as well. My favorite page is page 2 because it's got a summary of business news snippets from all across Montana, and it's very insightful, very 2940970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about on this Monday morning, especially after a busy week on the road. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is something we got to get back to. I talked about this in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but I got a message from Sally in Billings. Sally says, you should do a story on this Wendy lady. Wendy is apparently the Billings organizer for the anti-law, pro-crime outfit. Sally says the evil demo rat needs to be stopped. I didn't use the full name there just because I don't know this person in particular. But anyway, Sally is saying, hey, somebody should do a little bit more digging on the Billings organizer for these anti-law enforcement, pro-crime outfits. If you haven't seen it, well, let me hold that thought for just a second. I want to talk more about these protests in Missoula, protests in Bozeman. Yeah, surprise, surprise, surprise. The same woke white leftists that were protesting on the bridge last weekend were the same, you know, folks protesting on the bridge this weekend. You know, what are they going to be protesting next weekend? You know, last weekend it was Nicolai Maduro, their buddy Nicolai. This weekend it was trashing the brave men and women of law enforcement. Who are they going to be protesting for or against next week? Meanwhile, in Iran, you have women. This is very popular. The women of Iran, they're not covering their heads. They're not wearing the traditional Islamic garb. Instead, they're dressed very modern, and this is going viral. They are lighting a cigarette and then using the cigarette to burn a photo of the Supreme Leader of Iran, to burn pictures of the Ayatollah Khamenei. Senator Tim Sheehy did the same thing. He recreated this image on X, and you got to go check it out. It's very cool, showing solidarity with the women of Iran who are standing up to this evil terrorist regime in Tehran. Where are the woke white women of Missoula? Where are the woke white women of Bozeman? Where are the woke white women of Billings? Shrieking and shrilling, attacking law enforcement that keeps this country safe and standing up in defense of a woke white liberal who rammed an ICE agent. I mean, but why aren't they standing up for the women of Iran? I think we all know the answer to that question, right? Why are they standing with the radical Islamists in America? Why are they standing with the gangbangers and the drug dealers and the cartels and the Trende Aragua thugs in America and not standing up for the women of Tehran? And by the way, remember when the Democrat lieutenant governor of Minnesota put on the hijab to virtue signal to the Somali Muslim community in the face of this, you know, $8 to $10 billion fraud scandal in Minnesota? I mean, literally looked like she was straight out of The Handmaid's Tale. But yet, I mean, if anything, these woke white liberal women are probably mad at the women of Iran for not covering their...
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, I had a great message that came in. Well, first off, we wrapped up the 6 o'clock hour with a very good question from, let's see, I think it was Tamara in Billings asking about the L.A. fires 1 year later. And I'm trying to recall. Caden, help me out if I don't recall the entire question. Hopefully, she'll call back in again, because coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Sean Regan, who is with the Manhattan Institute, but he lives in Bozeman. He used to be with PERC in Bozeman. Great guy. He wrote a piece for FoxNews.com over the weekend. Let me read you the subject line here. 1 year after the L.A. fires, California still has not learned its lessons. The state's environmental policies helped turn a containable brush fire into a catastrophe. That's basically the summary at FoxNews.com. But like I say, he's going to be with us here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But the question that Tamara had was, hey, there's all these theories out there that L.A. let it burn. L.A. let those homes burn to the ground. And L.A. is now making it so hard for people to rebuild their homes. She was saying because, some people are saying, well, they think it's because they want to use that land to build this, bogus high-speed rail project that's just been a waste, just been a money pit of billions of dollars. But then Cameron in Billings sent another message here at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Have you heard anything about the Olympics conspiracy? This one says that L.A. officials, et cetera, started the fires to free up property for infrastructure for the Olympics in 2028 when they go to L.A. There's some pretty interesting notes on it, given some of the evidence we have. I don't know if Sean Regan will have any specific insight or thoughts on any of those kind of theories, but you guys remind me. Let me try to ask him about that, of course, when we hit the high points from his piece at FoxNews.com. And, of course, he did a big write-up for the City Journal as well. In the meantime here, let's see. This is something I've been wanting to go back and listen to here. So some of you might have heard part of this. One of the things I was going to ask Evelyn Pyburn about earlier, but we just had other topics to get to, was, the news out of Venezuela and the impact on the oil markets. And what does all of this news in Venezuela mean when it comes to oil, and especially to Montana oil and gas producers? Got a chance to catch up with Sonny Capice with the Montana Petroleum Association. Here you go. Normally, he's a keynote speaker and a panelist at stuff like this as well, but I wanted to invite him in as a special guest right now, not just because he's a great guy anyway, but, man, we were just talking about energy issues and affordability issues and brought up Venezuela and more. Sonny Capice is the head of the Montana Petroleum Association. Sonny, thanks for coming down and joining us on the show this morning.
You bet, Aaron. I appreciate you having me on, man.
It's good to see you. So, man, let's just start with the big Venezuela news, Nicolai Maduro. A lot of people don't realize, Venezuela was the crown jewel of the South American continent. I mean, one of the wealthiest nations on the entire planet. And then the socialists took over. And they came out to your farm. I've had friends that grew up in Venezuela that have shared these stories with me. They came out to your farm and they said, you know what, that John Deere tractor? No, you don't get to have those anymore. You got to use this Chinese tractor instead. And then they said, oh, by the way, this isn't your farm. This is the people's farm. And they destroyed a lot of the agriculture in that country. They did the same thing with oil.
That's right.
There was a lot of American business partnerships down there.
Yeah, Chevron, most of the infrastructure paid by, American consumers. They came in and nationalized that entire network and all the infrastructure. They just took it. It was a big deal. I mean, I guess it's not probably wide knowledge, but Venezuela is the largest proven oil reserve in the world. It equates for about 70% of the global oil reserves, about 303 billion barrels of reserve oil. So it's pretty serious. Historically, a lot of the U.S.'s refinement infrastructure is built for that heavy, sour Venezuelan crude. somewhat similar to kind of Permian Basin crude that we make in Texas. So it was a big deal when Chavez and Maduro kind of nationalized all that asset. So
yeah. So like for example, if you've ever been to Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts, you know it's an incredible baseball field, right? I remember seeing the massive Citgo sign right there.
Yeah.
Well, especially Boston, Massachusetts. I mean, that was symbolic of this big relationship between the U.S. and Venezuela. But basically, as I understand it, you know, the socialists took over Venezuela and they basically stole directly from American oil companies. And Trump's working to get that back right now.
It's the classic socialist nation story. You know, all these, you have very prosperous countries at one point because it's a capitalist society. You have industry come in, they make life better for everyone, good jobs, good wages, thriving industry. And then you have a country, you know, an ideology come in and say, oh no, we're taking it. And look what's happened, right? You have the largest proven oil reserve on the planet, 303 billion barrels a day. They produce about a million barrels a day. The U.S. produces 15 million a day. And, you know, our refined product, you know, they're probably exporting 500,000 barrels. We have single refineries that do 500,000 barrels a day. But that's what you get. That's what you get with mismanagement and a fundamental lack of capitalist ideology. You don't get production, and people suffer. And look at what's happened to the people of Venezuela. They have suffered.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that was kind of some of the early speculation was, okay, now with Nicolai Maduro being taken into custody by this incredible operation, what does that mean? Could these American oil companies go back in and not just recoup their investment, repair these relationships? But the initial speculation was, my goodness, there is still too much uncertainty with the rest of the government still in place. There is so much work that would need to be done to rebuild and repair all of that. But it sounds like you're actually hearing a little more optimistic speculation.
You know, this is the, I think the reality is, I think you're looking at 5 to 10 years for them to get back up to you know, peak operating capacity. You know, just the timeline of nationalization to now, the mismanagement has been so broad. The infrastructure upgrades alone will take that long to get them online. The reality is yes, it is the largest reserve on the planet, but they're less than 1% of the export market currently. It's just their situation is so bad that for this to have any true effect, especially on U.S. oil markets, it's going to be, you know, 5 to 10 years probably.
Now, the other concern I would have is, okay, from an American producer perspective, like, you know, Rockin' the Bakken, Montana oil and gas guys, North Dakota oil and gas guys. Okay, so if we get all this Venezuelan oil back on the market, although it's already been on the market, it's just being consumed by Russia and by China and Iran, et cetera. But does that potentially lower the price of oil so much to where American producers have to, you know, scale back their investments? That's one question. The other question, before I forget it, is, you know, one thing I know the Trump administration is doing is, you know, instead of being so focused on what the price of oil is per barrel, make it easier, make it more efficient, make it less costly to produce that barrel of oil. And then you can, A, lower the oil prices, lower the gas prices, but still keep American producers in the game because they're delivering it more efficiently and less costly.
You know, I'll answer it. For the first question, no, I don't think the Venezuelan oil influx is going to have much short-term price. You know, I don't think it's going to mess with it too bad.
Because it's already there.
Yeah, and it's just frankly
dedicated to some third world tin pot dictators.
Exactly. And it's going to take so much time for that infrastructure to get put in place to produce. And ultimately, the other thing is, you know, the way it works really is it's like farm to market. I mean, our produced refined products happens sort of on a local level. Like Montana has four refineries, right? Those four refineries are taking Canadian and local produced crude. And those refineries are making a product that is primarily getting sold in our region. You know, central and eastern Washington, Idaho, Montana, the Dakotas, a little bit of western Minnesota. I mean, it's going to local retailers. It's fueling our farm economy is what it is. And that's why they built these refineries here in the first place. That was where the main distribution offtake would be, right? It's the ag industry, railroads, et cetera. It's kind of, on a very local level, I don't think there's going to be much effect because, you know, our produced product is at a local level.
All right, let's hold it right there. Another quick break here on Montana Talks. Sean Regan with the Manhattan Institute talking about the fire, the L.A. fires 1 year later. That'll be coming up here after at the top of the 8 o'clock hour of this show. More to follow with Sonny Capice after this. Plus, if you got something you want to talk about, you can call in right now.
Fox Sports Update.
Sky Moore again, a little trickery. Oh, Juwan Jennings, who slowed it before. Going deep to Caffrey. He's got it. Touchdown, 49ers. Juwan Jennings, who had a, remember, Jennings had a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and here in the playoffs, he delivers again.
So much deception. Here ends up being your passer.
Tom Brady with Kevin Burkhardt on Fox TV. Trickery by the 49ers scored their first of two fourth-quarter touchdowns Sunday. Niners beat the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles 23-19 in Philly and move on to the divisional playoffs next Saturday in Seattle against the division rival Seahawks, who had the NFC's number one seed at a first-round bye. Bye-bye to the Eagles, 36 yards on offense in the third quarter Sunday. The Niners got two fourth-quarter touchdown catches from Christian McCaffrey, the game winner with just under 3 minutes to play.
Johnston in motion, fourth down.
On NBC last night, the Patriots ended the Chargers season with a 16-3 win at Gillette Stadium. First playoff win for the Pats since Tom Brady quarterbacked the team to a win in Super Bowl 53 nearly 7 years ago. New England's quarterback Drake May in his first playoff game threw for 268 yards and ran for a team-best 66 yards. Connected for a touchdown with former Chargers tight end Hunter Henry with just under 10 minutes left.
We're looking forward to get back here at home, and that's it, playoff football, and that's what we said. You know, at the beginning of the season, we'll play home playoff games in the playoffs. And this is what we did, and we want to know. We've got to go to the next one.
Drake May will quarterback the Patriots next Sunday at home against the winner of tonight's final wildcard matchup between the Steelers and Texans in Pittsburgh. First game yesterday saw the Bills beat the Jaguars 23-19. Josh Allen threw for 273 yards, had a touchdown, also ran for two scores. Buffalo at Denver next Saturday. Another game will have the Rams at Chicago. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today, highs will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows near 40 to 45 around the region. And then on Tuesday, we'll see breaks of sun and some cloud cover. High temperatures at about 52 in Bozeman to about 61 in the Billings area. Partly cloudy skies expected Tuesday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
At usedcarsbillings.com. Auto Brokers of Montana, 3200 First Avenue North in Billings. Call today, 245-9055.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Last week when we were in Helena for the Montana Chamber's business days at the Capitol, it was great running into Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court, Corey Swanson. Also ran into later in the morning Judge Dan Wilson, the Flathead County judge who stood for freedom over the Democrats' big government approach during COVID-19. And he's running for Montana Supreme Court. But anyway, back to our conversation here with Sonny Capice from the Montana Petroleum Association.
We be on the cusp finally once again happening in America where we significantly, we've got the Trump administration in place here in Montana. We've got, you know, a solid red majority legislatively, the governor's office. The challenge is, of course, we still have this far left majority on the Montana Supreme Court. But if we get Judge Dan Wilson across the finish line, that can help.
From your lips to God's ears, man, I'm with you on that. You know, there's a few things that need to happen. The biggest one is we need environmental policy reform bad in this country nationwide. Ultimately, what people were doing 100 years ago is not what we're doing now. It is a clean industry. They operate with the utmost responsibility. And as technology improves, the refinement process of crude is the cleanest it has ever been. It's good. It's abundant energy. We should be utilizing it, and the policy should support that. On the next level, financial policy, we need tax reform in Montana to benefit industrial growth. And currently, our pipelines are the highest taxed centrally assessed property in our system at 12%. That is a huge inhibitor to investment.
That's one of my biggest questions when it comes to this property tax reform is like, guys, why are we so reliant on residential property taxes? Because we've lost industry. How is raising taxes on industry gonna build back our industrial base and reduce our reliance on residential property taxes? And it's key to this affordability conversation. You raise taxes on the things that we need to be more affordable, you're making them less affordable. On a lighter note, I did an interview with Todd Sparns on Newsmax the other day, and we had a guy from Texas on there with us as well, and I was going to joke, hey, we got Montana and Texas on the same call here. We got Yellowstone and Landman all wrapped into one. What do your oil and gas guys say about this TV show Landman? I love it. I love it.
You know, the best part of this is it doesn't take place in Montana, so we're not getting the nasty benefits of it, but hey, you know, my guys love it. It's putting a spotlight on the industry, arguably the most important industry I think we have in this country. Every single person in America fills up their car and they turn their lights on, and we produce that energy and we're proud of it.
All right, then we joked with him about it. Apparently there's people that have been spotted driving, you know, desert tan pickups around with Emtex oil stickers on the side of them, kind of like people were putting the Yellowstone Y on the side of their Dodge Ram pickups after Yellowstone came out as well. All right, fun conversation. If you missed any of our coverage from the Chamber of Commerce Business Days at the Capitol, it's all on our Montana Talks app, or you can find the audio on Spotify as well. All right, here we are, January 12th, getting ready to go to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas next week. I'm really glad that I started my diet tune-up. I do like a 2 to 3 week tune-up every year, every January. Anybody's going to do it. Throughout the year, you're going to put on a couple of pounds or maybe a few pounds, and then especially after the holidays, you're going to put on a few more pounds. It's a lot easier to lose a few pounds than a lot of pounds. But I'll tell you what, whether you've got a few pounds to lose, you want to do a quick little tune-up here at the start of the year, or whether you've got a lot of pounds to shed, Billings Last Diet is the program that works. I'm doing a little tune-up right now, and actually, I love their protein snacks. When I was on the road last week, driving the Highline back from Malta to the Flathead, I tell you what, I had my ideal protein snacks, and it's a great time to do a tune-up, and then I'm going to save a lot of money in Vegas next week, because I'll have my ideal protein snacks with me there. That'll get me through the day, and then you're not spending, you know, $100+ just trying to have breakfast, frankly, or lunch, right? BillingsLastDiet.com. They've got a remote option, so even if you're in Missoula, you can benefit from Billings Last Diet.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad. or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.